Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Chulin Daf Chav, Chulin 20, and in today's Daf Yomi, the Gemara analyzes a statement from our Mishnah, which was on 19b, where the Mishnah says, Kasher b'shchita, pasul b'malika, kasher b'malika, pasul b'shchita, which means that anything that is kosher for a ritual slaughter is going to be disqualified by the malika, which is the way that the bird was killed when it was sacrificed in the temple, that it was killed by a pinching on the back of the neck, and anything that is kosher for this malika is going to be disqualified for shchita. So our Gemara understands that this phrase in the Mishnah, when it says anything is kosher or the reverse, that's actually an unnecessary phrase, and therefore it must be coming to add something else, because the Mishnah could have inferred it from an earlier statement in the Mishnah. And so therefore, what is it coming to include? So Rav Bar Chana suggests that maybe it's coming to tell us umiyute shem v'tziporin. It's coming to tell us that only by malika do we say where the kohen does kill the bird with his right fingernail, that under those circumstances we say that's kosher with the right fingernail. Lemiute shem v'tziporin, to exclude the case of a tooth and a fingernail, that a fingernail is kosher for malika. But by shchita, even if you slaughter with your fingernail, even if you pierce the two simanim, the trachea and the esophagus, with your fingernail, that would not be valid. And so maybe that's what it's coming to tell us the special din of shein v'tziporin. So the Gemara says, no, it can't be that's what it's coming to include. The reason why it can't be that's what it's coming to include is because shein v'tziporin behejek atani. That was explicitly written. The idea that a tooth and a fingernail are disqualified as a kosher shlita is explicitly written in the Mishnah 15b, where it says that you can slaughter with the teeth of an animal and a fingernail. And the reason is because those are considered they're still connected to something, and therefore it's going to be considered like it's connected to the ground. And anything that's connected to the ground is going to be disqualified as a slaughter. So it can't be. And so the Gemara moves on to try and suggest a different solution as to explain why our phrase in the Mishnah is telling us that anything that's kosher for shchita is disqualified for malika, and kosher for malika is disqualified for shchita. Comes along Tosfos, and Tosfos asks a fundamental question. Why do we need to be told that a tooth is disqualified for malika? There's no reason to tell us a tooth is disqualified for malika, because we know that malika you can only use your right hand. So obviously you can't use a tooth. There's no reason you'd be able to use a tooth when we know explicitly that only the right hand is good for malika. So what would it be coming to add when it says that a tooth is disqualified for malika? So Tosfos gives a couple of suggestions. And one suggestion that Tosfos gives is that when it says a tooth is kosher for malika, it doesn't mean that it's kosher. It means to say that the disqualification does not come from the same source that it's disqualified by regular shlita. By regular slaughter, the tooth is going to be disqualified because it's connected to the animal, so it's like it's connected to the ground. Whereas by malika, it's disqualified not for that reason, but for the reason that it's not the right hand. That is what the first answer that Tosfos gives. Tosfos gives a second answer and says, no, in fact, the left hand is actually worse than slaughtering with the tooth, because we know that by chalitza, the Tosfos bases this on the Gemara in Yevamos, that by chalitza, that a woman is not allowed to use her left hand, she has to remove the shoe from her brother-in-law as part of the chalitza ceremony to allow herself to remarry. But we know that, let's say, Rachmana Litzlan, a woman does not have use of her right hand, that we say under those circumstances she cannot use the left hand, but instead what she needs to do is use her mouth, to remove the shoe with her mouth. And so therefore, we see that under certain circumstances, even though the left hand is prohibited, a use of the mouth is permitted. And so we might have thought that under these circumstances, by malika, we could use the mouth. And so that's why we say that the tooth also needs to be prohibited. So in this context, this is very relevant to people with disabilities, whether or not we can, under certain circumstances where something requires, for example, the use of the hands, if we can't use the hand, if a person can use their mouth to perform that mitzvah. So there was an incident that happened in Egypt where there was a scribe, and the scribe used to write with their mouth. And so the Rambam Mipano was asked this question, whether the writing in such a manner is kosher or not. And he says that it's disqualified. Even if there's no other scribe in that place, you cannot write in this mouth, because there's no such thing as writing with the mouth. When it comes to the Torah, Tefillah, and Mezuzos, you need to write with your hands. So the Magen Avraham brings this psak of the Rambam Mipano, and he rules that way. And he says, yes, indeed, you cannot write with your mouth to fulfill the mitzvah of writing a Torah. However, the more Vikatsiya is bothered by this Magen Avraham. He says, why are you ruling like this Rambam Mipano? We have explicit rule by Chalitza that a woman who is missing her left hand can remove the shoe with her teeth. And so therefore, the Moru Ketzia rules against the Rambam Mipano. However, in the Sefer Amudei Eish, he brings the words of the Moru Ketzia, and he says that if you look at the writings of the Rambam Mipano, you're going to see it's not difficult, because by Chalitza, the fact that we require a hand is only rabbinic, and so therefore we allow you to use the mouth. However, when it relates to tefillin, that which we require a hand to write the tefillin is biblical, and so therefore he says the teeth is certainly not going to be okay, and that is the distinction of the Amudei Eish. However, the Shudhar Tzvi was also asked about a case of a situation about a scribe whose hand was unable to write anymore, and he wanted to write with the back of the hand, and whether or not that was going to be kosher for Sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzos. So we see that this idea and this idea of writing with a different part of the hand is a fundamental question that, as it relates to Safras. And so the Shutar Tzvi writes that we cannot say that it's disqualified, because it's not like writing with your left hand. It's a fundamentally different thing than writing with your left hand. And so he allows the writing with the back of the hand under those circumstances. We see a tremendous way of the poskim to allow people with physical differences to be able to fulfill the mitzvah.